Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, good afternoon, but it's not Newell. It's Don Dubuque filling in for Newell. Newell's got the day off. He will be back with you on Monday. This hour, we're going to talk about a new law that's going to be going into effect in 2026, maybe not too well known by very many citizens, where hundreds of Louisiana officials will be able to sue private citizens, businesses, and government entities for not removing their basic biographical information from the Internet. My question for you, the audience, have you ever published anything? Have you gone on social media and put any personal information from Louisiana officials? Because if you have, and you're requested to take it down, you may be sued. Joining us to talk more about it is Julie O'Donoghue. Julie is an author with the Louisiana Illuminator, and she wrote a very extensive, well-written story outlining this whole situation. Julie, thanks for taking some time to come tell our listeners about this new law.
Of course. Thanks for having me on. I'm happy to do it.
I'm glad you are. And, you know, tell us about the Louisiana Illuminator. It's been called, I think I mispronounced it, the Eliminator, and I've heard it called the Humiliator, which might be an accurate description sometimes. Tell us about the Illuminator.
Yeah, we're relatively young. We're only about 5.5 years old, a nonprofit news outlet in Louisiana. We focus on state government and politics, so we focus on things that the Louisiana legislature does, also state agencies and the governor and other statewide elected officials like the attorney general. We don't cover directly like sports or crime like a lot of mainstream news outlets do. We mostly focus on politics. Of course, sometimes sports and crime obviously intersect with politics. But that is our bailiwick, if you will.
I'm sure there's no shortage of material in Louisiana for you guys to write about, Julie. Tell me this, are you on paper still or is it strictly online?
No, our product is strictly online. Well, that's an interesting question. We are strictly online. We have a newsletter. So if you go to lailuminator.com, you can sign up for our newsletter that comes out every weekday. And then there's an edition on Sunday that goes out as well. People can pick up our copy for free. So sort of like the old Associated Press or UPI, people can rerun our stories. So sometimes we might appear in papers because a newspaper or a publication has picked up our story for print. But that's, and we have a lot of television stations that pick us up. The public radio stations pick us up a lot. And some of the smaller newspapers that are in more rural parts of the state pick us up quite a bit.
Well, I'm glad I came across your article because it's very well done and explains it very well and really is going to illuminate a situation for a lot of people. Basically, tell us what this law is and how did it come about?
Right. So there's many parts of it. I'm going to focus initially on the part that concerns private citizens. So there is a law in effect right now that limits what you can say about judges online without their permission. So there's a list of things that judges currently can ask you to take down if you post them on the internet, and that includes like the judge's birth date, some things like credit card numbers or identifying information about their vehicle, but it also includes things like marital records, the employee location of their spouse, so where their spouse works, their place of worship, so where they might go to a church or synagogue, and there's a variety of these types things that a judge now can ask you to post that about them online. They can ask you to take it down, and if you don't take it down within 72 hours, they can sue you. And next year, starting in February, this kind of right to sue will expand to a lot of other people, including all of our statewide elected officials, so the governor, the attorney general. I'm assuming this includes the U.S. senators, too. All of our legislators and our public service commissioners. So starting next year, for example, if you put a legislator's birth date in a post on X or Facebook, they could ask you to take it down. And if you didn't take it down within 7 days, they could sue you. And I guess I should back up and say that this also applies to their family members. So if you post something with a birthday or a place of worship of their spouse, of their child, they can ask you to take it down. And if you don't take it down, they can sue you. So in extreme situations, this could apply to like a birthday party. So let's say you attend a birthday party of an elected official's child and you post, a picture and you say, happy birthday, John, or whatever. They can ask you to take it down, and you have to take it down or you're going to be subjected to a lawsuit potentially. That's basically the run of the law. Like I said, right now it's in place for judges, but starting next year it's going to be in place for a lot of other types of elected officials.
Julia, a lot of those documents and information you mentioned, that is public information where I can find that. It's made available to the public, but yet if I post it on social media, I can be sued?
Yeah. So, So the purpose of this law originally, it has a genuine purpose, which is in the age of social media and kind of everyone being online, people get what's called doxed, which is when someone publishes like your address, you're a high profile person, someone publishes your address or maybe your school, and that is used to invoke like a harassment campaign against them. You know, for example, a legislator takes a vote that you don't like, you post their address, and then suddenly people are sending them, picketing outside your house, right? Like, or sending them, sending them packages with kind of gross things in them, that type of thing. So it's meant to combat that type of activity. I think what is maybe concerning for free speech advocates about the way the law was written is that you don't have to like prove intent, right? Like you don't have to prove that someone's posting this information with the intention of harassing someone, right? It could be, for example, with a judge. In Louisiana, when you hit 70 and you're a judge, you can't run the office again, right? They are term limited, so to speak, at 70. Well, what if someone was like, hey, I don't think this judge can run again because they were born on this date, right? And put the birth date into this post. Can the judge then insist that they take that post down? That's appropriate, you know, subject to a lawsuit. I think that's more of the concern from, you know, from First Amendment advocates about how this could play out into potentially people being intimidated into removing information that might not be, that for whatever reason the elected official might not want out there.
You know, this is going to fill up our courts as if we don't have enough litigation going on. I mean, I can see this just getting crazy. I mean, did your research take you to any of the cases that have been followed through in other states and get any idea of an amount of damages that they would be suing for?
Yeah, sure. Yes. So similar laws are in place in other states. I would say Louisiana's law, from what I can tell, and it's kind of hard to sometimes. Louisiana's law is much more expensive than what we've seen in other states. In other states, it's typical that the laws only protect attorneys and maybe like correctional officers, like people's addresses, right? They don't apply to like where your wife works or your husband works, you know? There are a couple proceedings that have been underway. So in New Jersey, there was a blogger that wrote a story on his blog about how the, I think a law enforcement official, like a police chief in his town, in fact, didn't live in the town, lived 2.5 hours away from the town. And I believe the crux of this article was supposed to be like, how is this guy in charge of our police if he lives 2.5 hours away, right, from where the place he's supposed to be leading the police force? And the town, I don't know if they sued him or they brought him up on criminal charges, but they took action against him because he had posted part of this police chief's address in this blog post. And that has been working its way through the courts. In New Jersey, also, there is sort of a, I don't know if they're a company or a law firm, but they have brought like thousands of lawsuits against, I think it's thousands, it's definitely hundreds of lawsuits against like businesses like Zillow that are posting people's addresses, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like data, sort of like people finder type things. And they've just brought like every action. And that is still kind of being worked out in the federal court system there. So New Jersey's law is a little bit different from the Louisiana law in that they were trying to restrict access to all documents, whereas in Louisiana, it's really about what you post online. In New Jersey, their law was like a kind of more restrictive. So I think it remains to be seen how much that's going to translate to what we're doing here. But I do agree with you that there's potential for a lot of litigation.
Well, so, Julie, I got to tell you, you know, this also applies to the media. And we're going to take a break when we come back. I want to find out and ask you if the Illuminator is going to be affected in any way by this, because I think I may be. And I've got an example I want to share with you, and you can maybe comment on that. We're talking with Julie O'Donoghue.
That would be great.
Fine. Julie O'Donoghue is with us. She is an author for The Illuminator, wrote this story about next year, Louisiana officials, many of them are going to be able to sue you, businesses, and government entities if you don't remove basic biographical and, in some cases, public information that you post on the Internet. We'll be back to do that right after this. You're listening to The Big 870 WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
And welcome back in. Don Dubuque filling in for Newell Norman today. We're talking with Julie O'Donoghue, an author for the Louisiana Illuminator. She wrote an excellent story about a law that probably is little known to people. And Julie, my normal field of expertise in monitoring the legislature is hunting and fishing issues. I mean, I scan them like a hawk, but and you know, because I do this type of fill-in occasionally too, I probably look at the legal system and the legislature more than the average person. And this one slipped completely by me, but I think it's got some very big and broad implications that can happen, particularly to the media, because we are affected. And I'm going to give you an example of something that I'm actually concerned about now. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be doing a story that requires me to divulge, I think it's an important part of the whole story, the political campaign contributor database. There's an issue where some people that and companies that made enormous contributions to Louisiana politicians impacts, I believe, their decision in regulating that industry. And I'm planning to make that public, and under this new law, I might be able to be sued because I'm exposing a political database of campaign contributions, which is public information. Is your paper, The Illuminator, are y'all planning on making any changes because of this, where you would eliminate and very carefully not post anything that could be construed as personal information on judges and elected officials and a whole host of people?
I don't think we're going to make any changes. I will say, you know, I'm unclear about how that would apply to the story that you're going to do, but I gather that it might have to do with exposing people's addresses. And if that is the case, I understand what you're saying. I think it's important to say that, you know, a lot of First Amendment attorneys I talk to, and frankly, other people privately, judges, some other attorneys, think that this is likely unconstitutional, and parts of it will probably be overturned, right? And I think that is why I don't think personally that I am going to change the way I operate, you know, because I think we're waiting to see how this might play out in the courts. Now, with that being said, that's harder for individuals, right? Because they, the litigation can be expensive. You know, being sued is not cheap, right? I think if I were sued or you were sued, there'd be a lot of people wanting to kind of help us out with that type of thing, because I think they would think that that was inherently a problem for our free speech rights. But that doesn't mean that, you know, a person who gets a threatening letter from a elected official who lives in, you know, Bruley, or is just like, you know, a homemaker or a government worker going about their job, you know, that they're going to know that maybe this might be unconstitutional and unfair. What I will say, it, just to use a similar example of things that I think might, you know, that would maybe draw problems, is, for example, revealing a spouse's employment location. So we don't really know what employment location means in the law here. Does it mean where they work in general or the specific address where they work? Well, if it's where they work in general, similar to what you're talking about, you know, sometimes it's relevant to legislator to a story where someone's family member works, right? Because sometimes
absolutely,
they're giving that person or that business special treatment, or there seems to be special treatment, or even when they're doing everything above board. And I'm going to use an example of someone who I have no reason to believe is doing not things above board. The Attorney General's Liz Merle, her husband, works at Taylor Porter, which is one of the largest law firms in the state. Now, I have no reason to believe that they are not doing things that are above board. But Taylor Porter does get hired by her agency and has for years, well before she was Attorney General, to do work for the agency. And they have, like, set up this firewall. They've been very proactive about trying to explain that they are not, you know, it's not a special treatment type of situation. And I do not want to imply that it is. But if I wrote a story that said that her husband worked at Taylor Porter and was a partner there, does that give her the right to just sue me and my outlet, you know, because she doesn't want it mentioned? I don't know that the Attorney General, I don't have reason to believe she would do that, but there are other people who might be in similar situations who would. I don't know if I'm making good sense. But,
no, you definitely, you know, are, and I believe that, you know, if it is enforced in that fashion, that this is certainly going to be an infringement on free speech. I think I said the Second Amendment earlier, but it's the first. Second is always on my mind because of the hunting aspect of it. But, you know, one of the things, Julie, that really surprised, well, it didn't really surprise me, but the way that this was passed, it was kind of, you know, late in the session and behind closed doors, and from what your article says, they didn't even debate it. I mean, the lawmakers, because it was for them, hey, this is for me, that's just, it's done. It's so let it be written, so let it be done kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's important to point out. So when this bill was, as I said, it's already in effect for judges. That was passed in 2024. This year in 2025, the bill was originally filed to only apply to district attorneys, assistant district attorneys, and their investigators. And some people may not think it should apply, you know, to judges or DAs, but that's a smaller group of people. And just to, like, set the stage of when this is happening, this bill was kind of filed around the time that those district ADAs in New Orleans had to go into hiding because of the jailbreak. So there were, you know, there were kind of like discussions about concerns about their safety and stuff. So it was filed that way. It was backed by the Louisiana District Attorneys Association. It went through hearings in the House and the Senate, and only after it went through those hearings did the legislators, the public service commissioners, and the statewide elected officials get added to the bill. So it was after the public had a chance to comment, you know, at a hearing. It was also after anyone with sort of expertise in this area might have been able to comment and say, hey, you know, I don't know that this bill is going to be constitutional. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just happened after that, and they didn't talk about it at all on the Senate floor, and they didn't talk about it at all on the House floor. They just voted on it right away. So,
and it was approved unanimously, not one vote against it.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't they include all of us in this? You and I being in the media, I mean, you know, what about private citizens? Do we have the right to sue someone if they post our information on there, either intentionally or unintentionally, and I ask them to remove it? No, we don't get that protection because you're considered, you know, a special case. I forget what the term is, but you know, on litigation, there's certain people, in fact, politicians come under that scrutiny where, you know, you can't prove defamation. You know, it's very hard to do that for somebody that's in, you know, a high profile or even low profile character.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have the right to sue people who might post our address or something on social media. I would even point out that Newell Normand, who I know you're subbing in for, former sheriff, I suspect that I know he kind of has a right to keep his, he has more tools, I guess, to keep his personal address out of the public eye, I think, as a former sheriff, but he can't just go suing people for posting, you know, where his spouse might work, you know, or where he goes to church. So it's applying to like a very limited, in some ways it's applying to lots of people, but also a limited group of people. You know what I mean? I think it's fair to say it wasn't particularly well thought out or discussed before it got passed.
Yeah. Well, you know, people in the media or even, you know, people who just believe in free speech, they should have had a chance to go appear and, you know, give testimony and statements on this. I mean, the way it was done with no discussion and they all voted unanimously and it applies to them, it's a very, very self-serving piece of legislation. Although I have to admit I can see a lot of good in this bill, you know, because that one case where the judge was being stalked by a family member of one of the teenagers that she sent to prison in that high-profile killing of 73-year-old Linda Fricke. When that happened, that botched carjacking, yeah, certainly she needs protection because of that. But there's just so many other cases where this is just going to be the wild, wild west of the courtroom, I can tell you.
Yeah, I think the reason we're getting these laws, and I want to emphasize there are some people who are receiving very scary threats. Obviously, that judge. In other places in the country, there was a judge in Maryland who was very recently killed by a disgruntled divorcee that, you know, lost a child custody battle in front of him. He just came and shot him in his driveway. You know, things are happening that I think are upsetting people and making people feel unsafe. Right after this bill passed, it was after it passed, but a couple of state legislators in Minnesota were killed at their houses by a man who was unhappy with them. I think that this is kind of leading to these types of laws, right? Threats or actual incidents. But what I would say is, you know, we need to think about the balance and the trade-off of this, because there are ways in which this makes our government entitles elected officials who maybe aren't behaving well, right, to intimidate people in the public, members of the media, but also regular people, into not saying certain things about them, right? But it also, you know, it makes our government less transparent, too, which is, I think, a problem.
Yeah, so. I agree. And, you know, one of our listeners texted in and said, I can see politicians like LaToya Cantrell using this law to sue journalists and others like Ann Brough. And I'm sure you're familiar with that case where, you know,
yes,
she claimed she was stalking her and spying on her. And, I mean, under this new law, she might have had some grounds for a lawsuit.
To be fair, I agree with what that person is saying, but the law does not apply to the New Orleans mayor, just to be clear.
It doesn't.
It doesn't in the way it's written right now. It's just going to apply to public service commissioners, legislators, and statewide elected officials, judges, and district attorneys and their staff.
And their families.
And their families, yes. I guess I should also say and their families. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, I don't know. Is there any precedent so far in the other states that they would point out other cases? If you know, if it came to a court in Louisiana, they could point to what's been done in these other cases?
Yes, that's a little above my pay grade. There are other cases. There is one particular case that I have seen that applies. And it's, again, it's a kind of a tough issue. In California, they had a similar law a few years ago. They voted on, speaking of guns, it's California, so they voted on a, you know, a gun restriction law, right? A gun rights advocate who was unhappy about the law, I think it was like a background check type law, posted all the phone numbers and I think addresses of the legislators in California who voted for the restriction. So he was unhappy about it. And he, I think the point he was trying to make is if the government can take my information because I own a gun, I'm going to post your information, basically, like your personal information. And he got asked to take it down. And it's a little more complicated than someone else posted it that was sort of in the gun rights community, but I won't get into that. He got asked to take it down. And then he sued, saying it's my First Amendment right to post this information. And the federal court sided with him. They said that he was sort of engaging in a form of protest about being angry about a law that passed. And the California legislature did not have the right to tell him that he could not post what he posted. So that's like the case that I think is the most analogous. But I think there are others, too. I'm just not as familiar with them. A lot of the others have to do with, for example, someone posting like the name of a person who's a victim of crime, which most mainstream media organizations would not post the victim of a sexual crime, right? Their name without their permission. But, it has like some, implications there about like, you know, what type of information you're allowed to share. So. Right.
Julie, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you for taking this time, and thank you very much for bringing this to light and doing the research on it. I think it's going to be very surprising. I don't know what the results will be when they start going to court if we get the first one and see what happens. And they might even make some amendments and, you know, tune this law to where it's a little bit more. I think there's some good in it, but I think it's gone a little overboard here with the threat to the First Amendment. But thank you for being with us, and great job on the story, Julie. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, and I hope you guys have a good holiday season.
You too. We'll be regular readers. Thanks again. All right, that's Julie O'Donoghue. Coming up after this break, we're going to close it out with CBS military analyst Colonel Jeff McCausland. War crimes or legal military action, those strikes on narco-terrorist boats, which is it? We'll be right back after this. Don Dubuque, in for Newell Norman on the Big 870 WWI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Yeah, welcome back in. And one of the things we wanted to talk about today are the strikes on the narco-terrorists. Are they war crimes, as many contend, or are they legal military actions? And there's a lot of discussion going on and committees calling in witnesses to testify. And joining us to discuss this is Colonel Jeff McCausland, our CBS military analyst. Jeff, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Always a pleasure.
Can you describe for me what the situation is, if you know, when these strikes are being conducted? I got visions of a war room with an admiral, maybe some subordinate ranking officers there, maybe a legal analyst, whether he be military or civilian, and of course then you've got the equipment operators. Is that classified information? Do you know what actually it's set up when these actions take place?
Well, it varies by the operation, but an operation of this size, including, of course, the area of the Caribbean that you're surveilling, the number of ships that are involved in that particular area as part of that overall operation, it's probably, like you described, a pretty big war room, situation room, operations room to conduct this. Yeah, you're going to have a commander involved. You're going to have his staff judge advocate, which will be a uniformed senior staff judge advocate, depending on the level of command. He or she would be probably at the rank of lieutenant colonel or colonel. In this particular case, since we're talking a four-star command with SOUTHCOM and with JSOC that are operating this, probably a three-colonel, a staff chief advocate. I want to emphasize he or she as the attorney, because we're talking legal matter, are really there to advise the commander. They don't have the authority to order a commander, don't do that. They only have their job is to be a staff officer and to advise the commander. They'll be getting video feeds in, more likely from drones, on the area to be surveilled in the target area. And then as it was observed by the members of the, I guess it was the Armed Services Committee and the Intelligence Committees yesterday, there would actually be, in this case, a video of the actual strike, and in this case for the one they were reviewing, the second strike on this particular boat.
The mission is to destroy the boat, the drugs, and the operators. Whether it takes one shot, two shot, or four shots, does it make any difference whether it's considered a war crime or a legal action?
It does make a difference, and the reason it makes a difference is because you have to start sort of with an audit trail here. And the audit trail begins with, are these operations legal in a general sense, all 20-plus of them, are they legal? From the very beginning, back in early September of this year. Well, the Trump administration says they're legal. We've had a finding by the Justice Department that this is legal. We are actually at war with these particular cartels, and the president's commander-in-chief is defending the nation with this military response. Now, no, that's not been shared with anyone. To the best of my knowledge, it hasn't been that particular legal analysis. It's certainly not been shared with the public, nor has it been shared with members of Congress in an effort to drum up public support. But let's say they have one and it is ironclad, though most experts I know really question whether these operations are therefore legal. Then the president, of course, would issue an executive order, which he has done, written order to the Secretary of Defense. The Secretary of Defense then would take that order and translate it into a directive much more specific, which he would send to the appropriate commander, in this case, SOUTHCOM and Joint Operations, Special Operations Command, for the actual conduct of the operation. Now, in this particular case, that therefore is to destroy the target. But this is where you get into a question about what happens in the aftermath. If we are at war and an adversary at sea or on the ground, and I've captured thousands of guys when I was in Iraq commanding a battalion, when, in fact, an adversary, an enemy, in this case an enemy combatant, because we're at war and therefore they are a combatant, is no longer able to defend himself or herself. And it talks specifically in the law about, you know, shipwrecked sailors. If a ship has been in battle and gets sunk, they are then considered to be prisoners of war, and they're defenseless, and you can't just execute them. So then you get into this real particular question that was raised yesterday with Admiral Bradley. Were these particular individuals attempting to resist or continue to resist, okay? In which case, you would have the authority to continue to attack them as opposed to considering them defenseless, injured, shipwrecked, in which case they would have to be recovered.
Were there any precedents set in the drone attacks under President Obama as far as some of those being war crimes? I mean, those were kill missions.
Well, in some of those, there were some questions about some of those, but you have to remember the big difference is during those drone strikes under President Obama, and frankly under President Bush before him, and in some cases under President Trump, were conducted in accordance with the authorization to use military force that the United States Congress had debated and voted in favor of. But that was for operations in the Middle East against ISIS and Al-Qaeda. You can't stretch that operation, that particular authority, to the Caribbean, even though that authority still exists. I think we conducted an operation against ISIS, frankly, in Syria or Iraq in the last couple of days. So that's the difference. Now, in some cases, did those attacks occur and innocent people get killed? Yes, they did. I can think of a couple of cases in Iraq, one involving a helicopter attack, in which individuals in the aftermath were machine gunned, and there was actually a video of them just being machine gunned. As I recall, there was an investigation, and I believe the pilots for that particular incident were actually held accountable. So even in those instances, there was still a review, and there were innumerable cases, oh, by the way, where I know of, we were scheduled to attack a particular target in Afghanistan, in Iraq. We had solid intelligence that there were bad guys right there. And then at the last minute, the attack was called off. Why? Because we had determined that there was far too many innocent civilians in the area who would be killed by the collateral damage, which kind of brings us back to this boat that we're talking about. Because it's always been interesting to me, this particular vessel had 11 people on board. Now, again, I ain't a sailor, that's for sure. But it looked at me at the size of this boat. You darn sure didn't need 11 people to crew this. Was it probably carrying narcotics? May well have been. There's been no evidence presented, which I also find kind of odd, honestly. Might that also have been hauling other people for other reasons? For example, might those other people have been illegal immigrants, frankly, trying to leave Venezuela? About a quarter of the population has left. And so, therefore, a scrutiny of that particular attack might deserve a little closer examination to determine who were all those passengers. Were they all men? Were there other people behind? Were there women and children on board? Because there are 11 people there. And then finally, what's odd about this in terms of precedent is after this attack, there was a subsequent attack in which two guys were captured. This is in the Caribbean. But in that case, for whatever reason, they were both released back to their home countries almost immediately. Neither of them were Venezuelan. They were picked up by the United States Navy. One, as I recall, was Ecuadorian, and one was Colombian, and they were immediately repatriated, which we never did with Al-Qaeda or ISIS guys, who we said we were at war with under an authorization. We say we're at war with these people, but we're immediately releasing them. So there's some differences and problems here, and I think an authorization to use military force by the Congress, if the Trump administration would pursue that, might kind of clear this all up and clarify it.
Yeah, it's going to take some going through. Jeff, thanks as always for providing a lot of the inside information. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. Jeff McCausland, our CBS military analyst. All right. We'll be back to wrap it up right after this on the Big 870 WWL. And welcome back in. We're getting ready to wrap up the show here. Coming up next will be Scoot. Scoot, what you got coming up for the free-for-all Friday?
Well, a lot of football this weekend to talk about, including Tulane's game tonight. It should be fun. I mean, there might be a little rain involved, but it looks, from what I'm seeing right now, it looks like the rain may be out of here by the time kickoff comes. But a huge game for Tulane uptown. We're going to try and check in with a couple of the bars in the uptown area. I'm sure that they're not going to wait until kickoff to start having fun there. We have a little bit of politics to talk about today, but not much. And some great Christmas music as part of our bumper music this afternoon. We'll also do an update on the big story locally, and that is the ICE agents in New Orleans called Catahoula Crunch. And some people, Don, have mistaken that for being a new cereal that is out on the market. And I mentioned yesterday that when I first heard Catahoula Crunch, I thought they were going to round up all the Catahoula dogs in the state. I had no idea. I thought Swamp Sweep was a better name, but that's just me, personally. But
that gets my vote, too.
Yeah, Swamp Sweep is better than Catahoula Crunch.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Don, have a great weekend.
You too, Scoot. Great show coming up. All right. I will be back in exactly 16 hours. Peyton Malone didn't give us much for outdoorsmen tomorrow as far as the forecast. But those of you braving to get out in the outdoors and those that will be in your camps, homes, trucks, and bedrooms, I'll be here at 5 a.m. with the outdoor show. Stay.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.